So you will have noticed that during Easter season, the first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles. It's the shape of our lectionary, and it follows the classical lectionary from the early centuries of the church's life. And the idea is that Acts tells the story of a church, a young church, living out the consequences of Jesus. All of who he was, all of what he was about, his life, his teaching, his betrayal, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven, and also the consequence of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so in the book of Acts, often we see the disciples doing the things that Jesus does. And this miracle read today, and there are a lot of miracles in the book of Acts, mirroring the life of Jesus. The miracle worked on Tabitha is one example of this business. The disciples doing the things that Jesus does. And Jesus had done this thing before, only they laughed at him when he tried it. Calling someone back from the dead, I mean, how ridiculous is that? Well, he does. Jairus' daughter, he calls back from the dead. And it happens because of what Jesus says to her. Luke chapter 8 tells the story. And remember that Luke and Acts are two volumes of a single work. Same author, same story being told. Here are the words that Jesus says to the daughter of Jairus. Child, get up. And it happens. In Acts chapter 9, today's reading, Peter says to the dead body, Tabitha, get up. And she does. The disciples are doing the thing that Jesus does. And they do that thing in another big picture sort of way also. Jesus has a way of finding the wrong kind of people. It has a way of being with them, the marginalized, the misfits, the ritually unclean. He has a reputation for eating with tax collectors and the wrong kind of women. His best friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, live in a leper colony called Bethany, just across the Kidron Valley and notably downwind from Jerusalem, the holy city. You would not want the wind blowing such uncleanness onto a holy place like that. So Bethany is strategically sited because lepers are regarded as unclean. Jesus stays in Bethany, the leper colony. He stays in the house of his friends there, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We have to have this backstory to understand the enormity of Jesus' decision in staying in such a place. Unheard of. And in so many other instances, Jesus takes up the cause of the poor, the outcast, those who have no place to go. He does it all the time. That's how he is. So back to the Acts reading. There is the mention, almost a throwaway line, about Peter staying in the house of Simon the Tanner. Not a throwaway line. Working as a tanner was an unclean profession, ritually impure. What with handling dead animals and their skins and, oh my goodness, massive quantities of urine necessary to do the chemical work on the skins to make them into leather. The ick factor with a tannery is very high. And if you have ever passed a tannery, you will know from the stench that it's telling you, you better just move on, you know. And Peter stays in the house of Simon the Tanner. Unclean place. But again, here is a disciple doing the thing that Jesus does. And then there is the business of the widows. Widows lurking around the dead body of Tabitha. Widows and orphans, classical examples of the marginalized throughout the Old Testament, with the prophet's continual call for the powerful to meet their needs. People with no family, widows and orphans, live contingent lives in the scriptural imagination. They are vulnerable if they have no one. And since they have no one, it becomes the duty of everyone to see to their needs. It becomes especially the duty of those with power and possessions. So there is the relentless cry of the prophets to tend to their needs. And it is a cry that goes unheeded as often as not. But something really amazing, a transformation happens in the book of Acts. Not so much in this scene, but in the playing out of the story, and we find this story as it continues to unfold through the second century of the church's life. The community which develops because of the resurrection of Jesus and in the power of the Spirit is built mostly from misfits, bad actors, and the wrong kinds of people. Start with Peter, who was himself a bad actor once upon a time. Here's the one who denies Jesus three times on the night he was handed over to suffering and death. And something happens in the life of Peter to move him from denier to a chief proclaimer. Then there's this guy we read about in Acts today, Simon the Tanner. Wrong kind of person. There's the Ethiopian eunuch who would have been excluded from the worship of Israel because of his physical condition. And Paul the Apostle, who starts his story in Acts as a fiend opposing the church. and something, someone turns him along the way. The Jesus story has an eye for the wrong kind of people. So the widows, not the wrong kind of people, but certainly the classically marginalized group as told in the Old Testament. This group of people transform into a powerful block in the course of the early church's life. And this is the sort of thing that Acts wants us to understand, that those who have been marginalized actually come to the center of this powerful movement. So Scripture mostly looks at a woman without a man and sees someone at risk. As the community of widows coalesce in the early church, these women begin to look around and see that a woman without a man is not the worst thing in the world. Because you know what? Such a woman is also free. She can leverage power. If she has even a little bit of money, and especially if she pools that money with others like her, which Acts tells us did in fact happen, then she has a say, and she has more leverage. This is exactly the sort of thing that the Jesus community makes space for. Marginalized, brought to the center. Mary sings it in her song that we call the Magnificat, about the mighty who are cast down and the lowly who are lifted up. This is the divine economy into which Jesus prepares a way. So all of us do well to recognize the points of our own marginalizations, those times when we have been cast down, left out, made to feel less than. And the more difficult it is for us to identify such points and times in our own life, the more important it is for us to know the poor, the outcast, and the stranger. Scripture tells us that the likes of these have something to teach all of us about a life of faith. Knowing them can transform us. And I have seen this happen. Rachel Held Evans died last week. Some of you will have known her writings. 37-year-old woman, married with two little kids, died from an infection gone bad, very bad. She wrote and spoke extensively about her Christian faith. And she was famous enough in doing these things that she got the gold standard of an obituary. Her obituary ran in the New York Times. She lived in East Tennessee. And her legacy in faith was evangelical and fundamentalist. She pushed against that legacy, and for a time pushed against Christianity altogether, but ultimately, she reclaimed Christianity as hers. And it should be no surprise to you that she ended up the last years of her life in our church. She died an Episcopalian. In 2016, she wrote these words. I once thought God wanted to use me to show gay people how to be straight. Instead, God used gay people to make me Christian. Now, my point is not to talk about human sexuality. Goodness knows our church has done that early and often over the past couple of decades. But I don't want to lose her point that God actually uses our encounters with the other, or someone we think to be the other, to draw us more tightly into life with Christ Jesus. And here we are back to that basic movement we find in the book of Acts. Crucial, crucial. We who are the church, whose purpose is to continue as one with the apostles in doing the thing that Jesus does. Amen.